This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by Jay Binkley, but quickly. For the first time in GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium history, Garth Brooks, the number one selling solo artist in U.S. history and seven-time CMA Entertainer of the Year, will play at Arrowhead Event Stage on Saturday, August 7th at 7 p.m. Tickets will go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Tickets will be available online at or on the Ticketmaster app on mobile devices. There are no advanced box office sales and no general ticket sales at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium ticket office in advance of the show. Garth Brooks has sold more records than Michael Jackson? I had no clue. I learned something today. Garth Brooks, the number one selling solo artist in U.S. history, is performing at Arrowhead Stadium. Very happy to be joined in studio right now by a good friend of mine. His name is Jay Binkley. He loves food. He loves football. We will talk about Waffle House coming up momentarily because you have talked to me about Waffle House probably three times in the last 2 hours.
Disrespect.
Number one, I want to get your reaction on the Julio Jones trade. Yeah. I thought the only team that had publicly been trying to get Julio Jones this entire time has been Tennessee. I thought that Los Angeles, the Chargers, made a lot of sense for him. Certainly, we could have made an argument for a couple of other teams, but at least according to reports from people far more sourced than you or I, Peter King said that Tennessee was the only team that was really interested, that really made a substantial offer for Julio Jones. What do you make of the move? What do you make of the lack of interest for Julio?
Well, it's weird. Tennessee was one of those teams willing to give them a clean two, meaning a lot of teams were willing to give them a three and playing time or production that could be a two. Well, Tennessee didn't want to play that game. They said, give us a two. Not this, you know, if they perform a certain respect, we'll give you a three. It could become a two. They didn't want to play that game. I understand it. I'm with you. Tennessee was in on him a long time ago. And A.J. Brown, all those pictures of him and Julio, it just made sense. I mean, this made sense for Tennessee to get Julio Jones in so many different ways. This is a team that's been flirting in the playoffs. This is a team destined to get into that second bubble to face the Chiefs, and they haven't got there. It's their own fault. The defense is fourth worst in the NFL last year. Sure, they brought in Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree's coming off an ACL. And to expect Bud Dupree's a fine player, but to expect him to be the end-all, be-all outside linebacker for the Tennessee Titans to make the defense better, you can't look at that. But look at the offense for the Tennessee Titans. Lose Corey Davis, and you lose Jonnu Smith, the tight end. I'd say, if I was ranking him, he'd be 10th or 11th best tight end in the NFL, to be honest with you, Jonnu Smith, who's now a member of New England Patriots. Now, Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith collected for 106 catches, 1,423 yards, and 13 touchdowns. Okay, so you got that. It's addition, subtraction. Now you got Julio Jones, who's coming off the hamstring and foot issues. Now, if Julio Jones, if he had a season rate of 106 catches, 1,423 yards, 13 touches, that's great. Then you have to ask me how they got better. How did Tennessee get better? Because essentially, they just replaced what they had lost. And to ask Julio Jones to have those numbers, I think it's pie in the sky at his age. Plus, you lost a tight end. So not only are you losing a wide receiver in Corey Davis, you're losing a tight end in Jonnu Smith. If I asked, you know, football people, 10 out of 10, would you rather have Julio Jones or Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith? Which collection would you rather have? And I think a lot of people in the know would say Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. Again, it's addition and subtraction. Like, Julio Jones is nice. That's a big name. But are you just replacing the production you had? Where have you moved forward? And they haven't.
I was going to ask you that, if you think this moves the needle, which doesn't sound like you do think that it moves the needle. I do look at their offense, and I hear what you're saying. But I'm looking at the addition of Bud Dupree on the defense. So you at least have
off an ACL,
a proven pass rusher, one of the better defensive players last year in the AFC, now switching teams to go to Pittsburgh to Tennessee. You have, I would say that Tannehill's been a top 12 quarterback in the league based on the production that we've seen from him.
Timeout, three games over 300 yards last season. His second best performance of the year where he threw 366 was against Houston. Derrick Henry had 212 yards that game. Another game he went over 300 yards. Derrick Henry had 120 yards rushing. What I'm saying is, how he goes, Derrick Henry goes.
I agree with you, but it's hard to me to then look at the numbers of what we've seen, just the raw data with Ryan Tannehill. He has made 26 starts for Tennessee in the regular season. They're 18-8. He's completing 68% of his passes. He has 55 touchdowns to 13 interceptions. Last year, he threw over 30 touchdown passes and had fewer than 10 interceptions. Like, Ryan Tannehill has been good. Do I think he's an elite high-end QB in the NFL? Certainly not. But if we're talking, like, if we're ranking quarterbacks in the AFC, I think he's fourth.
No, I disagree with you completely. Because it's cute numbers. Yeah, a lot of people talk about Tannehill and his productions. First of all, you got to win. And also, are you facing an 8-man front? I mean, that opens up the secondary so much more. Teams are so conscious of Derrick Henry and what he can do to them. He is facing different defenses than Patrick Mahomes and other elite quarterbacks are. He just is. They have handed off to Derrick Henry almost 700 times the last two seasons. That means he's taking the snap, turning around, handing Derrick Henry. He's putting him in second and short. He's getting him in third and short. He's putting him in good situations. Yeah, he put up good numbers, but against a defense that's predicated to stop Derrick Henry and not him. What happened in the playoffs 2 years ago? Derrick Henry was rolling, man. He was rolling. He got to Kansas City. Kansas City found a way to stop him. It's up to you, Tannehill. It's up to you to go out and win this game. Did he do it? No. Tannehill, listen, he puts up fine numbers, but again, he faces a different style of defense. That's public enemy number one is Derrick Henry when any team faces him. Just like with the Chiefs and Jamal Charles. Jamal Charles is public enemy number one. Didn't matter what the quarterback did. Didn't matter what else. Even Chuck Pagano said it before the Chiefs played the Colts in the playoffs. We got to stop this guy. That's what they're saying about Derrick Henry. We got to find a way to stop this guy. Tannehill is the benefactor of a Derrick Henry.
I don't disagree with you, but a couple of things. Number one, Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, I think are all clearly better than Ryan Tannehill. I think it's hard to sort of rank Deshaun Watson right now in the AFC without the certainty of knowing what's going to happen with him. But I would take Ryan Tannehill over Baker Mayfield if you're asking me who I could pick. I would take Ryan Tannehill over Ben Roethlisberger if you're asking me. I would say, at least based on the track record of the last two seasons, I would rank Tannehill right now ahead of Herbert. I think Herbert could pass him at the end of the season. But right now, if you ask me heading into the year, who would I take, Tannehill or Herbert? I would take Tannehill over him. I think he's played really good. And one thing I'll push back on when it comes to Tannehill, what you said about Tannehill, I think is the case for like 26 quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, outside of those elite guys, I think they're largely dependent on situation. So I don't want to penalize Tannehill for also now being in a good situation. You're right. He does have the run game. If they can get that defense up to par, and now you give him two legitimate number one type wide receivers, and then you throw Josh Reynolds in as a number three, I mean, I think they're one of the three or four best offenses in the conference.
They don't have a tight end. They don't have a tight end, and that's, you know, Jonnu Smith made a ton to that team. He did, whether it was running game or passing game, he meant a lot to that team. And I know they brought in Josh Reynolds, text line, but he's an average player. I don't see how Tennessee took that step forward. I don't. Tight end right now, Anthony Finkser. Who? Anthony Finkser. Backup tight end, Jeff Swaim, who had 9 catches last year. I just don't see Tennessee is taking that chance. Again, you know, Derrick Henry's been healthy for him. Good job. You know, nice job. But he's had almost 700 carries the last 2 years. We know what happens to running backs, especially last year when he had 378 carries, right? We know what happens to running backs in this. It's just inevitable. It happens to everybody. It happens to the best of them. The best running backs in this league flail out year after year. They're great 1 minute and bad the next. You know, even a guy like Le'Veon Bell that takes a year off, you know, he had all that rest. Well, he came back and was crap. You know what I mean? You just can't do it. you fall off that cliff really quickly. Not saying Derrick Henry is going to fall off the cliff at this point. I don't think he is. I do think he is if he's going to keep carrying 378 times. You know, human beings just can't do that in this league.
I do think whenever it ends for Derrick Henry, it's going to end in a Larry Johnson-like fashion.
And it's going to be ugly for Tennessee.
It's going to be bad. I agree with you. I don't think that he's, with his usage, he's not someone that ages gracefully. Is he somebody that probably gets hurt early on in the season, and then we look back and he was never the same after that injury? That's probably how it ends for Derrick Henry. But as of now, he's been on a pretty incredible run. Are you ready to put Tennessee ahead of Indianapolis? You love
no,
Indianapolis.
Hell no. I'm willing to put Indianapolis almost as high as the Buffalo Bills, to be honest with you, looking straight at the Kansas City Chiefs. They took a step forward. The Cleveland Browns took a huge step forward. And anybody doubting them, look at all these rankings coming out. Like, what have I been preaching on the show the last couple weeks? Cleveland Browns offensive line is the best in the NFL. No one wanted to believe me. Pro Football Focus ranked the top offensive lines in pro football. Who's number one? Cleveland Browns.
I believe you. I'm always going to roll with you. You know that?
I know, in their defense. You know, they took 50% of the Rams secondary. Number one secondary in the NFL, now in Cleveland. And they draft Greg Newsome. Like, the Cleveland Browns have done that necessary step to look after public enemy number one, which is in the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs did this with the Patriots. The Chiefs drafted to beat the Patriots. They didn't care about the Broncos. They didn't care about the Chargers. They cared about the New England Patriots. You know why? Because they should care about the New England Patriots. They had to find a way to beat that team. And you know what? Here's Spags. Here's a guy that knows how to beat Tom Brady. Beat Tom Brady in the biggest moments. Spags comes in. The rest is history. Tom Brady's now in Tampa. You know what I'm saying? The Chiefs geared their team, their season, their offseason to beat the New England Patriots. The Bills need to worry about their own division. That division's tougher, a lot tougher than the AFC West in coming out of that. No, I like the Colts. And no, I'm not saying I'm a big Carson Wentz fan, although I did like him with Frank Reich. But when you pair that offensive line in Indy, because I know Anthony Costanza retired, still got Ryan Kelly at center, still got the best offensive lineman in the NFL, Quentin Nelson, still have Braden Smith. Oh, and by the way, they also boast the third leading rusher in the NFL last year, Jonathan Taylor. And that defense at Indy is better than Buffalo. The offensive line is better than Buffalo. Yeah, Josh Allen's better. I'll give him that. Stephon Diggs, he's better. They did lose John Brown, who was kind of a vertical threat for him, sometimes injured, but he provided that extra thing Buffalo was looking for. Yeah, they replaced in the draft with Marquez Stevenson, who I really, really like, out of Houston in the sixth round, but what do you really expect from a sixth-rounder in this year's draft? I don't see that step forward. You know, Baltimore, if you want to say, okay, Sammy Watkins, if healthy, could be a good receiver, but you draft Tylan Wallace and you draft Rashad Bateman, okay, I buy that. Julio Jones would have been sweet in Baltimore for that team. Still concerned about the offensive line with Baltimore because I think they're in this we need to take a look at ourselves mode more than take a look at somebody else. When I had their beat writer on, Jonas Schaefer, when he made that comment, like that was damning on Baltimore, man. That was damning that they're looking at themselves instead of everybody else. That's not how you have to play. You always have to keep your eye. You have to keep your eye on your enemy. Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies closer, right? They did not do that.
Right now, we're talking to Jay Binkley in studio. We'll do random question with Jay Binkley coming up in about 5 minutes or so. 913-576-7610. Random question time with my guy, Jay Binkley. I think the Chiefs made a mistake by not bringing back Bashaud Breeland. You know how I am about corner. I would spend more resources on corner than the Chiefs do, but the Chiefs, we have differing opinions when it comes to cornerback play. They don't really have a lot of experience. They don't really have a lot of proven depth, I would say, when it comes to their cornerback. Now that we know, it's not hypothetical, because you and I both thought that Bashaud Breeland was eventually going to re-sign with Kansas City. Do you think they made a mistake in not bringing him back?
No, I don't. I think they have high hopes on what they have. And sometimes teams, and we've seen the Royals do this to some extent, where they trust their coaching staff. And you look at Dave Merritt and Sam Madison, and Spagnuolo's a defensive back guy too. And I told you last week, see that, when you got my instant reaction on this. You got Mike Hughes and DeAndre Baker. Those are both first-round pick number 30s from 2018 and 2019. And I get it. Hughes has been off the injured. I get it.
Often injured. He's made seven starts in three seasons.
Yeah, he's had some injury problems.
Adalberto Mondesi.
He's had some problem.
Mike Mondesi,
you know,
is what
Mondesi,
we need to start
Mondesi's
calling him.
Mondesi's going to turn it on at some point.
At some point,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, they like Hughes. And Hughes can return kicks as well. I like him. What I'm saying is they have high hopes, and what they already have. Not only that, the Chiefs are pretty heavy safety-driven. I mean, hell, look last year. What Tyrann Mathieu's been in the slot over 400 times the last 2 years. I mean, that's where a lot of times receivers go. Now, L'Jarius Sneed, can he play inside or outside? He could do both. I know people were really liking him on the inside on the slot because when he came back from that collarbone injury, he was good at the slot. In my opinion, he was the Chiefs Rookie of the Year last year. He had 171 snaps in the slot, 164 on the outside. Pretty even split, to be honest with you, with L'Jarius Sneed.
Right now, we're talking to Jay Binkley in here. I think they're making a mistake. I look at, they don't have any corner who has started for more than 4 years in the NFL. The two guys that I would say you made the big improvements, like DeAndre Baker, you're right, first round talent, coming off a significant injury.
You should
injury.
Be ready for training camp.
Are we sure?
Should be.
Are we sure?
No, nothing's a guarantee.
So if we're going into this where I would say with Mike Hughes, who there's no way you can count on Mike Hughes to play 16 games. There's nothing in his track record that would lead you to believe that he's going to play 16, 17 games for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. And DeAndre Baker, it's not like DeAndre Baker also has a proven track record. So he's coming off a significant injury, and he's also been up to this point, let's call it what it was, he's been a bust. He has been a bust of a first-round draft pick. That's who they're counting on to play corner for this team?
Hey, listen, in college football, DeAndre Baker was a stud. It was a rough go in New York. It just didn't fit out. It was a bad scheme for him. Change of scenery helps guys like that out. I trust in what the Chiefs are doing. I do. I mean, this team's been in three straight AFC title games. They've been in two straight Super Bowls. I mean, they know what they have, and they know what they're looking for. Would you? Let me ask you this. If push came to shove, would you sign Richard Sherman for 1 year?
No, I would have just brought back Rashad Breeland.
You don't have that option now. You don't have that option.
Yeah,
yet.
I wouldn't sign Richard Sherman.
So
I'm not
so
in the business of signing over.
You have instead of Sherman.
Yeah, I'm just signing an over 30, okay. And I love Sherman. I think he's going in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to sign a corner over 30 with his injury history. I don't know if that makes you a whole lot better. I made this point yesterday. I think maybe my unease is, and I know everybody loves Sneed. Everybody loves L'Jarius Sneed. The Chiefs' entire defense, for the most part, is predicated on a fourth-round corner being a number one corner. If Sneed regresses in any way this season, their defense doesn't work. It's predicated on, all right, we know Tyrann Mathieu is going to be able to cover up a deficiency when it comes to slot corner, right? He has been one of the best slot corners in the NFL the last two seasons. It also works if Sneed is great. Sneed can't just be average. He can't be Charvarius Ward, for example. He can't be Marcus Cooper from a couple years ago. He has to be a top corner in the league. And if he's not, their defense doesn't work.
And again, we're talking about a guy that was injured, and we expect him to be healthy. I mean, that's kind of the theme, what we're looking at here. We're looking at guys to turn that corner, be healthy for the season. I'm just saying if things work out, the Chiefs do have two first-round corners since 2018 on their roster. If things work out, if they coach him up at the level that they think they can.
Bing, do you know what, big. Bing, do you know what time it is?
It's random question time!
Bing, what do you make of HUD's pizza choice? Did you see what HUD's pizza choice was?
It was bad, man. It was, like, cringeworthy. I mean, avocados? They don't belong on pizza. I'm not a big guac guy anyway, so you're asking the wrong guy. But, no. That goes off the pizza. It's one of those things you scoop off and you throw on the floor
with
a dog.
Did you see those Bud Light seltzers? So they had roasted marshmallow,
no.
Spice pumpkin,
no.
And then they had like prickly pear.
No, I can't do that, man.
Are you a seltzer guy at all?
No, not at all. Won't do it.
You're just a traditional beer guy.
Yeah, give me just the beer. Beer's beer.
Beer is 100% beer.
I understand the seltzer market's big. You got all these breweries doing seltzers now. Everybody's doing seltzers. It's the in thing, man. But you know what? It's going to go out like the braided belt and pleated pants. You know, it's going to go out of style. Beer doesn't go anywhere, C-Dot.
Beer is forever.
Since the beginning of time. I mean, IPAs go all the way back to British frigates. I mean, it's been forever.
Someone on the text line asked this question. Hey, Bink. Do you consider Tyrann Mathieu's outburst on Twitter something to take seriously?
I do, but he's got a self-check inside where he deletes. Like he's got that mechanism. I should delete that. So he at least most of the time goes and deletes it. So you're like, I shouldn't have tweeted this. So that's good. He understands it. Like, it's the first part of the problem is understanding you have a problem. Like, we've all had these times where you grab your phone and then you put it down because you think it's straight. You know, let me put the phone down. Let me think about this. If I still feel this way tomorrow, I'll tweet something out. You know, sit, stew on it, think about it. It's like texting somebody angry. Just give it some time. You might change your opinion. That's my advice in love, too, by the way.
I don't really even understand his complaint when it comes to his contract. If we were having this conversation in early August, I'd be on his side.
Exactly.
The Chiefs always do this, though, when it comes to contract negotiations. Maybe he thought it was going to happen a little sooner than it's come together, but I firmly believe that Tyrann Mathieu will not be in training camp under the current contract. They will come to an agreement at some point between now and the moment they report at Chiefs training camp. And ultimately, that's all that matters.
That's why you don't tweet these things. You have the patience to go back. They're going to take. He understands the business, though. He understands it's a business. Well, this is the business. You know, I love Derek Fisher when he had his press conference in Indy. Listen, he understood the Chiefs. He's coming off Achilles. He's like, dude, get rid of me. You know, he understood it's a business. This is the NFL. Like, the NFL's not there for attaboys and pats on the back, man. They're not going to do it. They're going to spit you out, chew you up, spit you out of their mouth as fast as they can and get younger faster unless your name is Patrick Mahomes.
Text line 913-576-7610. Random question time with Jay Binkley. Hey, Bink, what's your favorite go-to snack at a gas station?
At a gas station? Roller food, man. Roller food. That was one of the things of the pandemic. I just, like, some Quick Trips had it still and some didn't. Like, my local one didn't. And it drove me crazy. Like, I straight to the roller food, man. A couple taquitos, maybe some of those buffalo chicken things.
They've actually added
burritos to the repertoire.
I'm not getting the burritos a little bit too
but
exploratory
you put in a little bag,
for me.
You put in a little bag, you bring it up to the counter, you know, it's like I got four of these in here, you know?
I'm a big sunflower seed individual. That's probably my go-to snack at a gas
station. Salt and pepper, pickle, or what?
I just regular or barbecue.
Just barbecue.
The pickle's too much. I don't want pickle sunflower
seeds. Do you actually
seeds.
Eat the seeds or do you just get the taste, the flavor, and spit out?
I eat the seeds, but then I spit out the shell. If you're eating the sunflower seed shell, you're
here.
Savage.
Try this. I got something for you if you like chew something.
Yeah, I'm not a dip guy. I've never had dip before. But
I know.
I'd
like to see you try it.
I've seen you do it before. It doesn't look like something I would be a part of. It seems like something I would hurt myself.
You would.
Why would I want to try that if I'm going to hurt myself?
I think it should be entertaining. Well, it already is, but I'm just saying it'd kick it up a notch.
What are your expectations for Juan Thornhill this season? Text line wants to know.
You know, I like Juan Thornhill. You know, baby Tyrann Mathieu. Could he become that level? I mean, the thing about Juan Thornhill is he shows those flashes. He's like, all right, I get it. I get it why the Chiefs great. It's a prove it year for him, I think. I mean, he's going to step out of the shit. Type of Cole Hardman. There's some guys that I put in that prove it category for the Chiefs. DeMarcus Robinson. You know, Taco Charlton's there. And I think Juan Thornhill, show me what you got. We got these expectations, what you can be. What can you really be?
Do you think Trey Smith could start on the offensive line?
You know, you hear the reports, man. They like some Trey Smith. I'd be cautious this year. I mean, just listening to Andy Heck last week, I'd be cautious this year with him, especially competing against some of the experience on the right side that he's going to be competing against, like Kyle Long. Unless he said, okay, Kyle Long, we're going to go ahead and put you at tackle. We're going to put Trey Smith at guard. Can Trey Smith be as good as LDT? LDT with the year off? Yeah, I think he can. Is he better than Wiley? Yeah. Is he better than Allegretti? Probably. So, yeah, I think Trey Smith is there. I'd say give him 4 or 5 weeks before he's named the starter.
Okay, we're going to do something that I maybe have never done before we get you out of here. So we have 1 minute left in this segment.
Yeah.
We're going to give you 1 minute to talk about the NHL playoffs. We normally talk about the NBA playoffs on this show because I can't really tell you who's even in the NHL playoffs, but I know that you and Fesco have a nice fun back and forth when it comes to you like hockey. So we will give you 1 minute. Rob, you can start the clock. You can also give him the horn at the end of it. We'll give you 1 minute, and then we'll take a break. Bink on the NHL playoffs.
Well, first of all, my Blues are out of it, and that sucks.
Oh, man.
Number two, everybody start jumping on the Colorado Avalanche bandwagon.
Patrick Waugh still playing?
No.
Okay.
But I hope they lose. You know, they're playing the Vegas Golden Knights. It's been a great series, right? Colorado had the streak going. 5 straight games of winning 3+ goals. I mean, they've just been destroying everybody. Of course, the Blues were a byproduct of that. But here come the Golden Knights. Series tied 2-2. If you're not in the playoff beards or playing when you're hurt, you're not enjoying what the Stanley Cup is. Now, there's some that aren't as good, like Tampa Bay Lightning, defending champs, playing the Hurricanes. Tampa Bay's already up 3-1. Canada's going to open the borders for the semifinals. How about that? They're going to actually open up the borders. The Blue Jays still stuck playing in Buffalo. But the NHL is going to let the Americans in, man. Well, not the Americans, a lot of Canadians and Russians on those teams. But they're going to let the NHL teams back in order. I think, CDOT, one thing about the NHL is you need to go to the playoff games. You need to enjoy it. Like, if you're not enjoying that Islanders-Bruins series, what that is, the intensity of what that all was. I mean, that was just pure intensity, pure excitement that you had. People lining up outside the doors. The Islanders lead that series 3-2. People are lined outside the door. And then, of course, you had the Canadians sweeping the Jets.
I feel like that was a long minute. I feel like Rob was gracious with that minute.
I got a little sidetracked.
I feel like he was gracious with that minute, though. He gave you a long minute.
Get a little sidetracked.
Bink, we appreciate you.
Thank you. You want my college baseball playoff series?
No. Actually, you know what? Stay here. I actually want to talk to you about something coming over on the other side. I have one thing I want to talk to you about coming over on the other side. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2-6. Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
All right, I didn't have this plan to talk to Binkley about, but I can't not talk to Binkley about this. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we will talk about Dayton Moore. This is the 15-year anniversary of him becoming the general manager for the Royals. We'll also update you on everything happening in Kansas City. So there is a story out right now from Yahoo Sports. It is Pete Thamel, one of the top reporters in college football. He put this out. Yahoo Sports spoke to more than a dozen stakeholders Monday on every side of the playoff decision. Amid those conversations, a surprise emerged. Officials on campuses, in conference offices, and in television have expressed an openness towards a 12-team college football playoff as the most likely result. Bink, if I can get on my soapbox just a little bit. College football has a playoff system that's more than four teams. It's called the regular season. The regular season, there are certain benchmarker games that we all know, whether it's Alabama plays LSU, whether it's Notre Dame travels to a team in the ACC. And we know the winner of that continues to have the opportunity to participate in the playoff, and the loser doesn't. If we're going to take away to me the beauty of the college football regular season, to now let virtually any great slash good team into the playoff, to me, you take away what makes college football so exciting over the course of the fall. I am anti a 12-team playoff. I don't even think an 8-team playoff is good. And we can get into why an 8-team playoff I don't think is very good. But 12 screams to me, we lost so much money in COVID. This is the fastest way for us to get it back. That we got to give people more games they're going to watch. And from the television dollars, we can make up all the money we lost in 2020 over the next 3 or 4 years. I can't think of any other reason to do that other than try to make the money back.
Well, that's a big part of it, is make the money back. These schools took it the shorts this past season, not able to have people in. I think a lot of people are tired of Clemson being in all the playoffs but one. Tired of Alabama being in every playoffs but one. Ohio State, multiple appearances. Oklahoma, multiple appearances. Notre Dame. It's a few teams that actually make it. Not only that, but you have Power 5 conferences, and you only have four of them that can get into the postseason. And we see teams that are hot late, and it's such an uneven playing field with the conferences and everything. I think this year was the year they should have dabbled with the expansion of it, because they could have. I mean, all rules were off. All bets were off. This year, look at Major League Baseball, expanded the playoffs. Things were different this year. This was the year to sample it, stick your feet in the water, and see if it works. And they missed out on the opportunity. They had four teams in the playoffs. There's really like four teams playing out of conference opponents with all their squad, because half the squad's players opted out of the bowl games to prepare for the NFL draft. I think you could have made the case for it this year. Like, if you go down, and teams like, you know, you would have had Iowa State in it this year. You would have had
Smoked.
You would have had Indiana in it this year. You would have had Coastal Carolina in it this year. And you would have had Cincinnati, a team that a lot of teams had a lot of respect for, that didn't quite get into the college football playoffs.
But, Binky, let me ask
and
you
how are they
question.
Going to get into it? I mean, they play the regular season. They play these games. Like, Cincinnati can roll the field, go undefeated, and not get in the playoffs.
Do we want those teams to be in it or have a realistic chance of winning it? Like, if we're simply saying, hey, we just want to see Coastal Carolina or Iowa State in this, but we don't really think they can win. We just want new teams in it. Cool. Or do we want to create a system in which those teams have a chance to actually advance? Because if Clemson had played Iowa State for a game that mattered this season, Iowa State would have got beat by 42 points. Is that what we want? We want more of those bloodshed games on national TV to really embarrass teams.
I mean, the
like
Alabamas
that?
And the Clemson of the world don't want to see it because they don't want to see the extra games that they would have to play. But I think if you're a team, if you don't want this, shorten it. Just take the Power Five conference and make Division One. Like, get rid of everybody else. Like, what justification do some of these schools like Coastal Carolina, Division One, they take it on the shorts, playing anybody and everybody, like Kansas. They were supposed to play in South Carolina this year. They went to Lawrence again and beat the Jayhawks. But what significance do they have? Like, if you're for the MAC and you go undefeated, what's your prize at the end of what's your carrot at the end of the stick? Going to the Motor City Bowl? You don't have one. At least the NCAA tournament with basketball is great because anybody could be in it. Like, literally, if you lace your sneakers up to play for Division I team, you can be in the postseason. Win your postseason tournament, and you're in. I think a lot of people are tired of the same old schools in the college football playoffs. It's why we went from the BCS to the playoffs. They didn't even want to do that. But it was Alabama and LSU playing in the national title game of the BCS. And the powers that be got together in New Orleans and talked about it and said, we got to do something about this. Because everybody was screaming, which I was fine with it. I mean, it was a great game. You know, you have the two powers like Alabama and LSU, but nobody else wanted to see it. And the powers that be got together and said, all right, well, let's have a playoff. So they go to the playoffs. It's not going to diminish the regular season because it still matters to win your conference, getting that automatic bid. Don't chance it by being on the outside in the playoffs. I don't think it takes away from anything. Not only that, it gives the schools like Cincinnati, who's a damn good football team, you know, a reason to play the best, a reason to play the best in the non-conference, a reason to be undefeated. Get yourself in the postseason. Not go and have a great year like they did and not even get into the postseason.
I want to give you a stat really quickly. I got to give credit to who it came from, Gabe DeArmond. So I'm subscribed to Power Mizzou, and every Monday he does his Monday morning 10 thoughts, right? So he did this. Over the last 10 years in college football, there have been 305 five-star kids, right? Over the last 10 years. What percentage of those kids do you think went to Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, Florida State, LSU? So out of 305, we're talking six schools. What percentage of five-star kids do you think committed to one of those six schools?
Say 85%.
60%.
Oh, really?
If we're talking four-star kids. So now we're talking, all right, not the elite, but we're using those same schools. It's at 25%.
Yep.
So if we combine five-star and four-star kids, almost 30% of them go to six schools. So I'm with you. Do I want to see
a guy like Mac Jones? He was a three-star kid. I mean, he developed some of these kids.
Of course, but you also put Mac Jones with 11 future NFL
Marcus
players.
Marcus Mariota had, what, two stars? Wins the Heisman Trophy. I mean, it happens.
There's no system in college football that's going to be fair as long as these numbers continue to exist. To me, the biggest problem in college football is scholarship limits. If you're going to give Alabama the same number of scholarships that you're going to give Iowa State, we have now seen it's better for you to back up at Alabama than start at Iowa State. Matt Cassel never happens if he goes to another Power 5 school. He never played at USC.
His only start was at tailback.
But you got a chance to every day practice against NFL players. You're in that system. You got a chance. So if college football is really interested in moving the talent around, you got to move the scholarship limit from 85 to like 50. And then those four-star kids and five-star kids, all right, well, you can't go to Alabama anymore. The scholarships are taken up. Now you have to express. But as long as this stat exists that of the truly elite kids, they all go to six schools, I don't care what system you create. If Cincinnati and Clemson play each other in football, Clemson is going to beat them almost every time.
And they get two more wrinkles. The free transfer rule where you can transfer anywhere, including interconference play.
Yeah.
And name, image, and likeness. That's why a lot of these states are like, okay, you know, it's bipartisan. The politicians are getting together and say, we need to pass this because we can't lose recruiting because they're like at their state school. Like if you're Ohio, like, well, let's pass this because we don't want to lose these kids to the state of Florida. Like, that's the new wrinkle to coming into the name, image, and likeness. Players wanting to go to a state where they can benefit and profit on their likeness. So all these factors come in.
Bink, I apologize for keeping you one extra segment. I could argue about the college football playoff for 4 hours.
I appreciate
hours,
it. We need to talk about Waffle House, so you owe me.
My bad. I apologize.
Thank you.
I still owe you that Chipotle burrito, too.
I accept
at
both
some
those
point,
apologies.
At some point, I'll give you the Chipotle burrito. I keep telling you to sign up for Venmo or Cash App, and you continue not to do it. So at this point, it's just a penalty to you.
Yeah, I'm just a different generation, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.